Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
No Cappy and J-Hood this morning. You've got Meller and Hanley on this day after Thanksgiving. Brian Hanley, I'm a little bit sad because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I now have to wait a whole nother year for my favorite holiday. How was your Thanksgiving yesterday? Did you have a joyful one?
I did. Thanks, Jeff. I hope you did as well, because I only had to bring the wine. I didn't have to do any of the cooking.
That's the way to do it.
You sound like you. Do you like the cooking part? Do you like the shopping? You like? I was at Trader Joe's on Tuesday, and I can't imagine what it looked like on Wednesday. I mean, it was nuts. But let's face it. I mean, it's a very labor intensive deal, right? And I mean, it's just not the cooking; it's the shopping and preparing, and how you're going to do the turkey and all the sides, and do you divvy up? Because last night after I stuffed my face, Connor McKnight tweeted out, and this was interesting. Steve McKnight tweeted out, going no turkey for the first time. He explained it was just he and his wife. Wanted to know if anyone else had gone off the menu. And it was amazing to me the responses he got. I didn't know it was a thing, right? I mean, a lot of people have subbed out for a long time. And I guess I had so many questions like, okay, once you stop doing it, do you go back? I mean, do you try something else for one year and then miss the stuffing and the dressing and all that?
It's an interesting question. I think a lot of people, for them, it really depends on how big of a fan of turkey you are. Because I know for some people, I think the sub out is very easy to do if turkey's not your favorite main course. I've actually had this argument with Cap in the past. I can't remember if he goes with the full steak or the prime rib. It was a beef main course, and he's not a big fan of turkey. And so I could see very easily, if that's not your favorite main dish, then it's very easy once you kind of do the swap once to never go back. To your point about what Connor tweeted out, I know his wife is also very, very pregnant. So it probably made a lot of sense not to do a lot of, like you said, labor intensive cooking and preparation for the holiday, especially when it's just the two of you. So that's an interesting side note. For me, this year was nice. We oftentimes have hosted at our house. This year, we decided to, where my sister-in-law ended up hosting with her husband. We ended up going up to her house in Milwaukee. Now, the one thing I'll say is we had a little of a fire drill yesterday morning because my wife didn't feel great on Wednesday evening, slightly under the weather, you know, a little bit of cold symptoms, but she tested not negative for COVID. So felt a little bit not great in the morning yesterday and was hemming and hawing about whether or not we were actually going to go to her sister's. So all of a sudden, yesterday morning, probably right around 24 hours ago, we were calling different grocery stores to see who was still open on Thanksgiving in case I had to make a mad dash for some last-minute turkey and other products so that if we were going to prepare it at home. Because she didn't want to send us. She didn't want to be home alone on Thanksgiving. Completely understandable. But at the same time, I was doing the prep math in my head, thinking to myself, oh man, this is going to be a disaster if I have to run out at 8 a.m. to go
find a place that's open.
Yes. And now, surprisingly, I quickly found out that pretty much most grocery stores are open at least until, 2-3 o'clock on Thanksgiving. So that wouldn't have been the issue, but I don't know what kind of crowds I would have been dealing with, to your point, Brian. And then the idea of just not being prepped and ready, but all of a sudden we're putting a full Thanksgiving feast on was not necessarily a great idea in my head. I was very concerned about the problematic issues in the aftermath.
I would love to hear from our listeners, you know, especially if they've been doing, you know, they've gone no turkey and, you know, what do they serve and do they ever go back? 312-332-3776 if you want to jump in. The other thing I've noticed over the last few years is a lot of these places, they, you know, you can order the entire meal cooked, right? I mean, like yesterday morning in my neighborhood, they actually had like huge rental trucks with the backs opened up in front of these stores, and people were pulling up and picking up like every item possible. They weren't doing any of the cooking. I mean, it was all done for them. I mean, I guess that's a thing. I mean, does that take away? Does that enhance the experience? Because, you know, there's no fuss, no muss. You just get to stuff your face. I went into a high-end bakery, and I'm not a big sweets guy, but I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll bring some pies along with the wine, right?
Yep.
And I don't, you know, I don't know if you're a sweets guy or not. I'm not a big dessert guy, but, you know, whatever. I went in and looked, and there was a lineup, like, you know, 50 people in line. I thought, well, this must be something special. So I stood there for a few minutes, got in there, and, of course, they had all pre-ordered the
pies. I was
pies.
Just going to say.
And I said, hey, do you have any that if you didn't pre-order? And she said, well, go over to the counter. You might, you know, there might be one or two. So they had a pie out there, and it said, this is the turducken of pies. It lists like every ingredient. So there was chocolate, there was pumpkin, there were charred marshmallows on the top. They were like $55.
And your standard traditional pie size, right? I assume nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, could you get 8 slices out of that? Probably. I mean, I get everything's more expensive, but I'm like, that's the turducken of pies? I'm like, I turned around and said, okay, see you later. Thanks a lot.
That seems a bit excessive, and the reality, too, is there are certain sweets that complement each other, right? When they're put together, whatever, you know, type of pie that you like, whether it's like, you know, this old-fashioned, you know, with a little bit of cinnamon, you know, some sugar, it complements the entire dish. The idea of a turducken.
Yeah, there was that in there, too. I think there's cinnamon in there.
Well,
I
mean, sure, yeah, but that's the problem is once you start throwing that with the chocolate, with everything imaginable to create the turducken of pie, I would think that doesn't necessarily taste as good as $55 worth of pie should, at least in my head. You know,
I'll never know because I'll just shell out $55 for a pie.
I think a vast majority of our listeners will never know the idea of a $55 turducken pie and what it tastes like. Just on principle, it seems like a bit
should have known
a bit
when
much.
The bagels were $3 each. I mean, the pie was going to be off the charts. So
whether you're cooking or not, I imagine most of the listening audience for us here on ESPN 1000, Cap and Jay Hood, Meller and Hanley in for the guys today. I'd imagine most of our listeners consumed plenty of football yesterday, Bri.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, starting off with the traditional Detroit Lions game. Of course, this one was interesting. It had the twist because the Buffalo Bills have been hanging out in Detroit for a little less than a week now because of the blizzard.
6 feet of snow will do that for you.
Yeah, because that displaced them. And so they had the opportunity to kind of acclimate themselves to Detroit before their second game in Detroit in roughly 5 days. And they pull off a 28-25 win. It became a lot more difficult than a lot of people imagined, especially if you
a 10-point spread. Wasn't
if you laid that spread, the only way to hit that one was to take my advice. I gave out the three-team turkey teaser yesterday, and 2 days ago, and it actually hit, came through. So that was a good thing. But a 28-25 victory for the Bills. That game was interesting. I don't know, how do you, when the Detroit game starts, Bri? I'll usually glance at the first couple of minutes, and then to your point about prepping or wherever
you
we're going,
start working. Yeah,
it always feels like the Detroit Lions game. I miss the second and third quarter, a good chunk of it generally, because I'll
and
see
usually it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
This year they're kind of, you know, interesting. They're entertaining and better than anyone at. And you know, with Campbell, their meatball coach, like right out of Central Casting. I love his press conferences, and we're going to take their knees out, and we're going to, you know, I mean, he's nuts, but apparently it's working for them, right? They're playing for him.
That's true. It's working for him a little bit, and they almost won their fourth straight game yesterday, but they weren't able to hold on because, you know, the Buffalo Bills, a lot of people look at them as one of the better teams in the AFC, although that's fallen off a little bit over the last couple weeks because of Josh Allen's elbow, and of course, when you have to fight, you know, just to scratch out a victory against the Lions. A lot of people are going, I know that was a large topic of conversation this morning on KJM between Keisha and Jay Will and Amber Wilson, just how legitimate are the Bills at 8-3? Listen, I think with Josh Allen as your quarterback, you feel pretty good about your chances. And I think this illustrates, Bri, just it is amusing how we just assume the good teams should run roughshod over every single team in the league. But we've also known, we see it week in and week out. Even the teams that you think of as lesser in this league are still most times, more times than not, competitive. It's pulling out the win above all else that matters, especially on the road.
The third game, for weeks now, I have not understood how Kirk Cousins and the Vikings are getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And going into that game yesterday, I think they said on the game, they had a negative point differential.
Yes,
with that record. Now, I know the Packers stink this year, which I didn't see coming necessarily. With Davante Adams, you knew that, you know, they'd have some issues. Didn't know they would run this deep. I mean, I don't know how they're getting it done, and they got it done again. I don't know. And that GM up there was in the running to be the GM here. Mm-hmm. They weren't in a rebuild mode, and they got a new coach too. I explain that to me, because Kirk Cousins, you know, you want more of that? You like that? Whatever? Yeah, no.
No, yeah. Quincy Adolfo-Mensah, who is the Vikings GM, was somebody who the Bears interviewed, although they selected Ryan Poles over him. A lot of people really like what Adolfo-Mensah, the type of analytics-based GM that he is. He has brought that to the Vikings there in his first year. They're now 9-2, and to your point, they were in yesterday's game. They headed into it with a -2 point differential after getting absolutely crushed by the Cowboys, who also played yesterday a divisional game that they had a hard-fought victory. But, you know, the better team squeaks that one out. I think, at least in most people's minds, the better team in the Cowboys over the Giants. They win 28-20. But, yes, the off of the Vikings game, the Cowboys just absolutely smashed them a couple weeks ago. And so a lot of people assumed that Kirk Cousins in primetime last night was going to be another disaster, especially with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots on the other side of the ball. But I think you see, and you know, this NFC is wide open, and the Vikings, where they're at, I don't think nobody's going to be picking them, at least most people who are not based in Minnesota, are not going to be picking the Vikings to be coming out of the NFC. Even if somehow, some way, they are able to pick up a couple games on the Eagles and actually land that bye, I would be, you know, I think there are going to be very few people who are picking the Vikings to come out of the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago, they were down 10 points to Washington in the fourth quarter, and they found a way to win that game. I mean, Washington helped them, but I mean, I thought, okay, they lose that game, maybe they start coming back to earth, but they just keep finding a way. So, who knows?
And they keep finding ways, and let's be honest, the Bears helped them as well
a few
weeks ago when Justin Fields, when we hadn't really made up our mind about what he was as a Bears quarterback yet, and Amir Smith-Marset gave that one to the Vikings as well. You know, so it's an interesting, and how much, when you're watching a team who's compiled a good record, how much credit do you give them for winning those one score games, or how much do you chalk it up to a little bit of puck luck, if you will, right, Bri? Because you've seen time and time again, there have been studies done that the ability to replicate one score wins year after year, it's just not done. Essentially, the best path to replicate success in the NFL is to be a dominant team that can go out and, you know, crush your opponents time and time again. That's replicatable. The one score games, good luck to you.
Well, and that brings us to our beloved Bears.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, Justin Fields, I know everyone's cloak and dagger, and coaches are going to try to hold off till the very last second to tell whether their quarterback's playing or not. So the Jets have to prepare for Trevor Siemian. Okay, whatever. Separated shoulder and torn ligaments. I can't believe we're even going to have this conversation, but we will. But the Bears can't seal the deal in those late in games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when the defense gives them an opportunity, I get that they've had 7 iterations of the offensive line, and that's no, you know, formula for success anytime. But now we got Justin Fields hurt. But when healthy, as much as they've doubled the point production from the first 4 or 5 weeks to the last 4 or 5 weeks, from 15 points to 30, 31 points a game, late in games, they can't they can't do it. They can't even get in field goal range. And then the interception came last week, and that's Fields had already been hurt. I mean, I tweeted out when I saw the grimace on his face. The tweet was, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Sure.
I mean,
that was the tweet. Uh-oh. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-oh. I mean, and Luke Getsy, who was everyone's fair-haired golden boy last week and was going to be out of here after the season as a head coach, still may be, because of what he's been getting out of this offense, had to answer the questions of what were those plays being called when you had a quarterback who was obviously in discomfort and obviously in pain. So
yep,
he had some explanations, and we can talk about it.
Yes, he did indeed. And if you were busy with your Thanksgiving prep work or just watching some NFL football, don't worry. We'll get you all caught up on what the Bears offensive coordinator had to say about the play calling down the stretch last week and, of course, how Justin Fields' health could affect his decision to play him this Sunday. We'll talk about that all next right here on ESPN 1000. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Brian Hanley in for Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Cap. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
While we were busy eating turkey and giving thanks yesterday, the Bears were hard at work practicing away, getting set to take on the New York Jets. And Luke Getsy met with the media yesterday, as he does during the week on Thursdays during the football season. And I'm Jeff Meller, by the way, along with Brian Hanley, as we're in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning. Brian, you mentioned how Luke Getsy has... There's been a lot of swell for the idea that he could potentially become a, or at least have an opportunity to interview again for head coaching jobs. And he could also potentially land one of those gigs based on what he's been able to do with the Bears offense this season, despite
the
fact.
Well, he interviewed with the Broncos.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing they regret not giving him
a
job.
There's no doubt about that. Now,
they've already gone the Matt Nagy route, where he's turned over the play calling to the coordinator. So, you know that movie ends, right? We've seen it.
Yeah, it can't be a successful Broncos team unless there's a Kubiak calling plays. we'll see if Cliff has as much success as his father Gary did. Nevertheless, though, to your point, yeah, Luke Getsy, he interviewed with the Broncos this offseason before the Bears hired him as the OC. And we've all been encouraged by what he's been able to do with this offense, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, where they've really tapped into what Justin Fields does really well as an athlete. And I'll be honest, he's doing things that we never saw him do at Ohio State. Now, the kid gloves are off, and we're also seeing the ripple effect of letting your quarterback, or building an offense in the NFL around a quarterback who's going to be your leading rusher, right? And how that may be problematic for the long term. But Luke Getsy yesterday met the media, and he was asked specifically, as you mentioned, that final drive, how did Fields' injury impact the play calling?
Yeah, no, I think it's like anything. It's if any one of our players on our team had any type of issue, that whether it was medical or the head coach or anybody said we had to work around, we work around it. And if they say it's good to go, green light, then we're rocking and rolling, and we're calling like we always do. So we got some time to figure all that stuff out, though. So
I guess that was more specifically, that one was more specifically about the idea of Fields playing this Sunday and what he'll do if the injury impacts his play calling. This one, I think, though, was about the impact of Fields' health in the fourth quarter last week.
No, only because, it's week 12, right? I mean, this is that time of the season, a lot of people's legs, and he runs the ball a lot, so his legs are going to be sore. But he's such a great athlete, and he's in great shape and stuff. So as far as if there's anything we ever had to hold back, I mean, someone would have told me that we needed to do that.
So it's not that that's not even about the shoulder. He's
correct.
Already dealing with the stretching because the hamstrings and the cramping, which was ongoing right before the shoulder got hurt in the final possession. So they're like, hey, wait a minute. Did you notice, why'd you call a run play right out of the box with 1:47 left? And he said, well, we have 3 timeouts. We mm-hmm. can do whatever. We can run the ball there. So, but why would you have him run the ball when before he got hurt with the shoulder, he's got hamstring issues, right? And everyone could see him on the sideline getting treated for that. And Luke's like, you know, I guess he was rocking and rolling. He just said, you know, he's good to go. He's out there. So he called the sweep.
Yes.
And he explained that earlier in the game, they called that play and Braxton Jones blocked the wrong guy. And so it didn't go for the 10 plus yards he anticipated. So he filed that away and dialed it up with the 1:47 left and a chance to tie the game with a field goal. And it turns into a 2 yard run out of bounds and land on your shoulder. And now the next play, the next play was a draw for Montgomery, but Getsy explained that Fields didn't hand the ball off. He kept the ball. So either he just didn't realize what the call was or was still in so much discomfort that the brain cells weren't functioning. Anyway, he wasn't supposed to run that ball and he got hit again.
Yeah, so, and the miscommunication. And I think once we learned that there, you know, it wasn't a designed run for Fields. Now, you don't love the fact that a miscommunication results in your quarterback who just got blasted and is in pain. The bailout is, oh, he's going to take off and run anyway. That, you know, I don't know, and they're not going to give us specifics on why or how that miscommunication occurs, right? If it's just, you know, David Montgomery, you know, not completely understanding what's going on in the situation. You know, I know Justin Fields mentioned maybe not liking what he saw. But there's no reason they're going to give us the exact details as to why the miscommunication occurs there. But nevertheless,
he got hit again.
And once you got to the point where, okay, now it's two in a row, and then you could see that throw where he's actually the interception where he's jumping and he's completely... There's no doubt in my mind the injury at that point was playing a role in that final interception as to how he was choosing to throw the ball. I feel like it's undeniable if you watch that play, that the dump off that was too high to David Montgomery. I think he was clearly laboring with his shoulder, and the reason he throws it the way he does is because he's dealing with the pain.
So the question here is, you know, whether it's you know, coach smoke and mirrors, if they're actually considering giving him a pain shot and an hour before the game and maybe wearing a harness and extra padding and to go play the Jets, one of the better defenses, by the way, and also six most sacks this season, 32. So good luck, Justin. We're all counting on you. I mean, you could give him the next 2 weeks and then have the bye, and they're not putting him on IR. So you could kind of have a mini IR without making it official. But if they're, I mean, I get the green light, we're rocking and rolling. If they say he can go, and I mean, here's hoping that he says he can't go, but he's not going to do that. So you have to protect him from himself, right? He's a competitor. He's a leader. He's not going to publicly go to the coach and say, I just can't go. I mean, they should listen to him, but that's not a good look. If he's the guy making the decision, they should take that out of his hands and be more prudent, but who knows?
Listen, I agree with you. And I guess the question too is, and if you'd like to weigh in, 312-332-3776, Miller and Hanley in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning. The question is like, we all understand we've watched football for a long time. There's the mentality that if you're cleared medically and you're available, you go.
Right.
We get that, right? But should the Bears be approaching this like, hey, more realistically, yeah, we know the football mentality. We know the culture you're trying to build. But we can also do, you know, we can multitask here, right? It's 2022. We understand that while you're trying to build a culture, I don't think anybody is questioning Justin Fields' leadership ability, you know, what he brings to this offense.
His toughness, his competitiveness.
No doubt about it. No. So everybody in that locker room, if you look at it and say, you know what, this one is not lining up in our favor. What are we truly? I guess the question is, if you trot out Justin Fields, who is limited in any capacity dealing with pain, and to your what you just brought up and what Justin Fields mentioned in his press conference on Wednesday, the idea of shooting him up, is that really what you want to be doing here with your second-year quarterback who, in a situation where you're 3-8 without anything really to play for?
Well, he checks all the intangible boxes have been checked, right? Leadership, intangible, you know, the toughness on the field, takes hits, competitiveness. The guys want to play for him. He stood up and apologized after the game before he even got an X-ray after the Sunday game. You know, apologized to the defense for not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other stuff we don't know. We know he can run. And to a fault, we know he can run. And 2 weeks ago, Jeff, I was screaming before the Lions game, okay, this defense can't stop anybody, and they can't stop any team in the air. That was the perfect time to take your 15 or so design plays, scripted plays, going into that game. And I said, just you throw the home run ball right away. Hit them in the mouth. Hit that secondary in the mouth. Let's see what that looks like against a team that you should have success against. And what they come out, run, design runs. We know we can run. You know, the fact that he's sitting here 27th in pass attempts among quarterbacks at 228 this far into the season, I mean, good Lord. And now I know it's his non-throwing shoulder, but when are we going to be able to check the boxes that he can sit in the pocket and make the right throw and you know, make the right call and check down and find his third option and do that on a regular basis? And when the line does give him 2.5 seconds to throw, can he get it done on a regular basis? You know, I don't know if we're going to get that answer this year. I mean, he could break Lamar Jackson's single season rushing record, but you got to throw in this league to win. And a franchise quarterback who can't throw isn't going to get you very far. To your point earlier in the show. So I don't know if we're going to be able to see it now, given the injury and everything else. But you know, the last 2 weeks, you should have seen him throwing a hell of a lot more than running.
You would have thought so. Matt Eberflus on Wednesday was asked what he's looking for from Justin Fields to determine if he's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, just how he's feeling. You know, what the medical staff is saying to him and to us every single day. And obviously we got to put that out every day. And then how he's feeling. You know, how he's feeling when he's moving, when he's throwing, and when he's just going about his business of operating as a quarterback.
No surprise, very evasive from Eberflus, as you expect from most NFL head coaches, especially midway through a work week. There was more from Eberflus, plenty from Justin Fields as well as to how he was feeling. This was on Wednesday, of course, then video surfaced yesterday. I saw a quick 9-second clip, three of which I saw Justin Fields throw a pass. Looked like he was moving around and feeling pretty good from the 3 seconds I saw. Brian? We will break that down and give you more Bears conversation. 312-332-3776. Will Justin Fields play on Sunday? And do you want him to? We'll talk about that next here on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Along with Brian Handley, as we are hoping that you are enjoying an extra day off here on the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, if you partake, if you're out and about. Wondering, I was discussing how big of a thing is Black Friday still for you, Brian, because not necessarily for you, but just in general, it feels like with the pandemic, the acceleration of online shopping has kind of, I don't know about you, but at least from what I've observed casually, it seems like it's knocked the idea of rushing out to buy stuff down at least a little bit. Would you agree?
I mean, you don't see anything, if you're still watching the news, where they used to, like, 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving morning, right?
Yep.
All the big box stores were open, and you're trying to get the biggest screen TV at half price. I think, to your point, the pandemic, and now you actually have to treat workers with a little bit of respect because, you know, they don't want to be working Thanksgiving Day just like everybody else doesn't want to. So I think, yeah, they got, you know, finally got smart about it. You didn't have to have people mobbing the place and knocking each other over coming through the doors to get all the, you know, grab as much as they can. You can just do it online.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a time from a time capsule in some ways when you think about it, what we were just doing a few years ago.
Good Lord.
And how it was constantly, it seemed like, what, you know, box stores, but like just any company was doing anything they could to one up the other one to try and, like you said, draw people in.
Well, and Black Friday sales start like 3 weeks ago.
Yep, exactly. I
mean, it's not one day anymore.
But again, probably for the better here. And speaking of for the better, would discretion be the better part of valor for the Bears here with Justin Fields? Now, he met the media on Wednesday, and it was very funny because Matt Eberflus met the media Wednesday morning, and then a couple hours later, Justin Fields met the media, and it was interesting to hear how a head coach approaches failing to reveal anything that he can to the media, as opposed to how a young quarterback who, I think Courtney mentioned it on the station a couple days ago, just, he's not a guy who can go up there and lie. It's not
There's
in his
no filter,
nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he doesn't want to. And it's, for us, it's refreshing to hear the truth come from him. Matt Eberflus was asked specifically about what the official injury was. This was his reaction.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk specifics. But again, he was cleared. He was cleared in a limited fashion today. So,
Justin Fields, what is your injury?
So it's just a separated shoulder with, partially torn ligaments, basically like an AC joint. So, yeah, that's my understanding of it.
You got to love it. Like, completely not going to give you anything versus here's specifically what I was told.
Here's the MRI results. You want to take a look?
Yeah. Yes. You can see right here the bruising and the strain, the muscles. But more from Matt Eberflus on Wednesday when he was asked, hey, so are you going to risk further injury and play him?
Yes and no. I mean, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. I mean, we'll see tomorrow. We'll be more of a faster pace. We'll see when he's moving full speed, during that time, during the drill work and stuff like that. So we'll be able to tell.
Justin Fields was asked, hey, are you dealing with pain or any limitation when you're throwing?
I think both. The pain is pretty high today. And just with throwing and stuff like that, like finishing throws, just the pain with that, So I'm just going to, work throughout the week to just kind of get that motion down, try to, get that pain down a little bit and see what happens, Friday night, Saturday. So
there you go. See, again, this was on Wednesday. So yesterday the video did surface. I mentioned I saw Kevin Fishbane tweet out a 9-second clip, Justin Fields throwing a pass and then Trevor Siemian immediately after throwing a pass. I mean, listen, they're working him through practice. It looks like if he says he can go, it seems like based on what Eberflus is telling us, they may actually try and let him go. And that's the question. Like, at this point, do you want the Bears to do that?
Well, and look, and I saw, I read the other day that the Justin Fields shouldn't play this week crowd is, really overdoing it. He said it even hurt handing the ball off.
Yes.
Okay. And I get you can numb it up, but pain's there for a reason. Pain's there to tell you what your limitations are, right?
I mean,
it's, you can numb it up. And if he can't do any further damage to it, okay, I guess. I want to see him out there. The main reason to watch the Bears this season,
yes,
is to watch the development of Justin Fields. And one of our Twitter poll questions today, you can find it at ESPN 1000, at Brian Hanley 534, at Jeff_Meller. We watch if Justin Fields is ruled out. We'd be watching. Is he the sole reason that you watch the Bears, or is it's the Bears and you watch them no matter? So I get every game is important, and I was hoping they would have a full grasp or a pretty good grasp on whether he's the franchise quarterback by the end of the season. I don't know that you can afford the luxury of going 2 years trying to figure it out. So I get all that, but if he's telling you it hurts when he's handing the ball off, good Lord. I mean, he's getting hit. They said they're sending 1 to 2 plays in a week to the NFL office on hits to Justin Fields should have been flagged and haven't been flagged. So even inadvertently, he could get hit. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know if it's, again, just gamesmanship, or I really don't want them to leave it up to him, because I know what he's going to do. He's going to say, let's go. And I don't know that that's fair to him or anybody, really.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Eberflus, when asked, will Justin Fields play if he's ready?
If he's ready to play, he's going to play. And he feels that way. We feel that way. If he's ready to go, feels good about it, he's gonna play in the game. And really, you know, the reason is because we're trying to win. You know, we want to win the game. There's a lot of great things, you know, through getting the experience of playing a game, every single game we can. And that's an important part to this season.
Mary, actually, you heard Eberflus let us in just a little bit. And then I think Justin Fields kind of confirmed what we heard there when he was asked, hey, so what if the Bears don't want you to play, but you feel ready?
I mean, that's not going to happen because, you know, Coach Flus pretty much said it was, you know, up to me. They want the best thing for me. So he said, you know, if I feel that I can play, if I feel that I can go out there and, you know, protect myself and stuff like that, then I'd be able to go. So I'm just going to, you know, see how it feels each and every day and just, you know, play by ear.
So you heard him say, hey, look, if I feel like I'm okay and ready to go, they've told me I can play. And, you know, we did hear him talk about, you know, potentially getting a pain-killing shot to numb it down. And you're right, though, Bri. The pain is there for a reason. And even if I kind of reject the idea or notion that, hey, you can't go out and hurt it any further, right? Like, the truth is, like, anybody who's ever had a significant injury of some type, your body compensates naturally when you're not feeling right. So, sure, maybe the staff could clear him and say you're not at risk of potentially, you know, hurting that shoulder any further based on where it's at. But I'll tell you what, the body in itself, it may not be the shoulder, but I guarantee you if he's out there and he's dealing with some extra pain for whatever reason, there are ways that when you're getting hit, you try and, you know, soften the blow, and whether it could be something that ends up hurting elsewhere because of the way your body, you're just naturally doing it, that's a reality. And I think anybody who's ever dealt with an injury knows your body compensates naturally.
I had meniscus cleanup surgery in a knee, right? Mm-hmm. And I was covering the Cubs at the time, and I was a young reporter at the Sun-Times, and I didn't want – doctor basically said stay off of it for a week and gave me, you know, crutches and a cane. And so it was an outpatient surgery on a Saturday morning. And Monday, we were going on a 7-game road trip to then Mile High Stadium, the Astrodome, and might have been Dodger Stadium or something. But three of the largest parks you could picture me hobbling around on.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I was just stupid enough or you know, thinking I can't let someone else take my beat for a week because, you know, they might be good. So I screwed up my Achilles. I ended up going to physical therapy for my Achilles because I was, like you said, compensating for the knee. And next thing you know, the knee was fine. It was something else I had to deal with.
Yeah. And so, and like I said, when the NFL and training teams say, hey, you can't, you know, you can't damage it any further, I immediately raise my eyebrows and say, really? We really sure about this? Because again, when you're playing, dealing with significant pain, I'm not talking about just your average, okay, you got beaten up the week before because you took hits. No, when we've diagnosed and we've been told by Justin Fields, you know, it's a separated shoulder, an AC joint issue, there's some ligament damage. Yes, then there's going to be compensation whether you like it or not, and you can do all you want to numb the pain. And maybe, again, that could end up being worse, right? Like, the reality is, at this stage of his career and where the Bears are at in their development, I'm hoping that they decide, no, this is not the best path this week. And, again, they're fortunate. The bye falling where it does in week 14 for them sets up, as you mentioned earlier, the perfect opportunity for almost a mini IR stint. Take 2 weeks, take the Jets game, take the Packers game, get that extra bye, and now you've got almost just shy of 4 full weeks, and then you get back out there right at that point.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're feeling a lot better. Because, and the other thing is, what are you accomplishing if Justin Fields goes out there and is in some way reduced or less than what he's capable of?
What does that offense look like, right? I mean, what, short passes, no passes? I mean, he's the most sacked QB in the league. And the Bears' offensive line, seventh variation of it that we've seen this season, allows the most pressure in the NFL. It's 65.5% in dropback and pass situations. So if he can't throw deep, and it's his non-throwing shoulder, but he said it hurts to throw, it hurts to hand off, but again, get a pain shot. I mean, what does that look like? What, like you said, what does that accomplish? What, you know, what can he be anywhere close to the best version of Justin Fields with all the protection and the painkiller?
Yeah, and this is, again, you mentioned it earlier. This is not a guy whose toughness is in question. We've seen it now for the last 5 weeks, you know, toughness or you know, the entire season. Toughness is not anything that anybody is questioning from Justin Fields right now. We all know he has that in spades. And it wasn't just his health that was talked about the other day. No, no, no. We learned that Justin Fields actually, the leadership quality is there as well. He apologized to the defense before he got the shoulder looked at. Well, an interesting person had a response to that yesterday. We'll share that with you next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Jeff Miller and Brian Hanley in for Cap and J Hood this morning, hanging out with you on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great one. Justin Fields met the media on Wednesday, and he was asked specifically about a story that got out there about him apologizing to the team after the game. He confirmed it.
Yeah, I did. You know, I was getting my shoulder checked out, and before I wanted to go get an x-ray, I just wanted to talk to the team because, you know, I mean, what, it was 27-24, the defense, you know, they held him to a field goal, so they gave us that op. And, of course, you know, anytime, you know, we have that opportunity to either go tie the game or even win the game for your team, you know, we want to do that. So I just, you know, apologize to those guys, especially, you know, with that game-ending pick. So, you know, felt like they did their jobs in terms of, you know, holding them to a field goal. It's not like they gave up a touchdown, so we needed to, you know, score a touchdown. So they did their job with, you know, holding them to a field goal, and all the offense had to do was go get points, and we didn't do that. So, you know, just got to get better in those situations and, you know, keep going.
Fields was asked how his teammates responded to the apology.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was basically apologizing, and, you know, Bo kind of, you know, stopped me, and, you know, he just said that's, you know, the game's not won or lost on one play. I mean, we all got to be better. So, you know, and then after that, we kind of just broke it down as a team and kind of went on about our business. But, yeah, of course, you know, I played pretty much, you know, for those guys in the locker room. I see how much work they put in each and every day. So, yeah, just, you know, having them as my teammates, having the leaders that we do have on this team, you know, be there for everybody and lead like they do. I think it's a big example of, you know, how our team is, how we're built, and, you know, what our culture is. So, glad to see that for sure.
The full leadership qualities on display there. This, though, caught my ear yesterday, Brian, when Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams met the media. He was asked about Justin Fields' apology. This was his reaction.
I was sad. Really, I was sad because I go, no. I just go, no. There's no reason to ever apologize. If you saw the way he worked, the way, you know what, not work, that's past tense, the way he works, if you saw the way he uplifts his teammates, if you saw how he sacrificed, you go, nah, no chance. We appreciate it. We understand, because that's what a competitor does. A competitor, you know, puts the team on his back and shoulders the load. But no chance whatsoever that he needs to apologize. And I think every one of the guys echoed that same sentiment.
Found that interesting to hear the Bears DC, you know, clap back. Not even clap back, but just, you know, like, didn't want to hear that from Justin Fields because they all respect him that much, Bri.
Yeah, and apparently a couple of the guys on the defensive squad stopped in mid-sentence and said, accurately enough, it's not the last series that lost us a game. It's not any one play. And I'll take you back, Jeff, to that famous press conference with George and Ted where, you know, do we win enough games? Do we get the quarterback exactly right? No. You know, which would be a long way towards winning a championship if you got the quarterback exactly right. But they kept talking about the culture in House Hall. And they were hanging their hat on like that they were the gold standard. And it might have been true. I don't know. But who cares if you didn't get the quarterback exactly right? So I think they do have the culture right now. I don't think there's any question about it, because when you have a kid like this who's got all those intangibles, all those boxes checked already, now it's just a matter of does he have the tools and the mindset to get it done as a quarterback? And we still don't know. I mean, it's looked a lot better in the last 4 or 5 weeks. But he's still averaging less than 20 passes per game, which in this league is not good enough in my world. So,
yeah, no, I agree with you. And the truth is what we've seen from Justin Fields so far this year. Now, the injury will dampen things a little bit. And, you know, the potential to break Lamar Jackson's rushing record I think is now firmly in question, because if he's not going to be able to play a couple of games, you know, all of a sudden, you know, 12:06, you know, it's far less reachable.
Well, even if he is playing, I hope he's not running around and sliding or
That's a great point. Yeah, at this point, the the play calling should at least reduce his ability to run a little bit down the stretch here. And what we're seeing, though, you know, 834 yards rushing, like lots of big plays. But we're also hearing before the shoulder injury, we're hearing, hey, the legs are heavy. And that's something I have to admit, Brian, I can't ever really remember hearing from a player, you know, 10, 11 weeks into a season, a player talking about, you know, how his it just caught me off guard. And it just goes to show that what they're doing this year is out of necessity, right? Like, he's not surrounded with enough talent to really explore what he's capable of. But that doesn't mean that should prevent you from at least attempting to do a little bit more passing, because it's not, forget how dynamic and fun it is to watch. It's just not a recipe to win football long term. Yeah.
No. And physically, I've never heard a running back talk about heavy legs, because I assume they train differently than a quarterback who happens to run, right? I mean, so the fact that Justin Fields has averaged 107 rushing yards per game, the last 6 weeks or so, that's great. And it, like you said, it's been fun. It's entertaining and all that. And it's out of design more than necessity, which is even better. But the hamstring and the cramping before the shoulder injury should have given you a little bit pause too, Luke Getsy.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. 312-332-3776. If you'd like to talk Bears and Justin Fields, who have the Jets upcoming on Sunday. Also, if you'd like to react to yesterday's game, slate of games, we're here for that as well. Plenty to talk about here on Cap and Jay Hood. Meller and Hanley in for the guys today. Up next, of course, it'll be 8 o'clock, which means it is time for Shot or No Shot in 2 short minutes.